Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday, and welcome to episode 484 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, where tonight we're going to talk a bit about Dune Part 2. I have not seen the film yet, but the fan event was yesterday, and apparently the theater was hopping at all the various locations that the early fan screening was being shown at. I have my ticket to go see this film in IMAX on opening night, and I can tell you, having bought it just yesterday, that the film is set to do very well, at least opening night. Judging based on my theater, which is not a very high volume theater, meaning not a lot of people typically go there. It's not like the place to be, at least from what I have gathered on the Thursday nights that I've gone to for other films in this area. The fact that this film, as far as the main body of seats in our IMAX screen, so not counting the side seats, it's almost entirely sold out. And there's still some days left. So, you know, clearly there are going to be quite a bit of people going to see this movie. The question, though, is how much more is it going to be making than what Part 1 was able to make, especially Part 1 coming out during the time of COVID? That's the typical excuse and explanation and justification being used by many who are fans of Part 1, trying to explain away its box office. Now, here's the thing. As someone who is a fan of Part 1, I also have to still say, yeah, the whole day and date stuff really doesn't hold up for me. And the reason why is because we look to a film like FNAF, right? Five Nights at Freddy's. That film had a day and date release, and yet it did fine. It did very well because it had a manageable budget. Other people bring up the COVID era. Well, remember, it was only a couple of months later, after the release of Dune, that you had the release of a little tiny film called Spider-Man No Way Home, which made well over $1 billion. And so the point of what I'm trying to say is that I think the film is going to do well. I think the film is also going to do quite better than what the first film did. But do I think that the film is going to make $1 billion? Do I think the film is going to just rock everybody's socks off at the box office? As of right now, that just does not seem to be the case based off of the numbers, based off of the projections that we're seeing right now. Now, again, just has to be known, has to be mentioned that we still don't have all of the numbers in. We still have to wait quite a bit before we start to get any real numbers that we can actually start crunching, because the fan events don't really count for much because it's in a specific number of screens. And all that really is showing is that, okay, there's obviously people that have been looking forward to this movie that are so hyped for it that they wanted to see it as soon as it was available at this fan event. But that does not necessarily equate to public, does not equate to the regular movie-going audience. And at the end of the day, Dune is a very niche property. It's a very niche property. And so again, Scott McKenzie, no worries about spoilers. I have not seen it, so there's no worries of spoiler talk, but I do hope that people don't mention it in the chat. I will say this much, though. I can't really protect people from spoilers because this book came out, what, the 1970s, 1960s? So it's kind of past the time for spoiler warnings on the story of the movie. If this was a brand new original film, I would have a little bit better understanding. But, I mean, the movie has been out for quite a while. I mean, sorry, the story has been out for quite a while now. If you go ahead and just look at it, okay? Yeah, it has sand, as Gary Banjo-Worthington says. We're also, of course, doing another push for the Raven Awards because I want more people to put some nominations in. We've had a lot more people in previous years. Last year, I think we had over 300 votes put in. Right now, we're about a third of that number. So I really, really hope that people, if you haven't voted yet, get your votes in. I know that I keep saying it, but I am planning because obviously time is running out. I'm going to be trying to schedule some watch parties in the Discord channel for this week. We already did a test run of a film last week in The Iron Claw. It went very well. It went through very smoothly. And so I'm hoping to do more watch parties through the Discord for some of the other films that I think people should see that have not been able to see. I know I got some recommendations for people who wanted to do Oppenheimer. Not really at the top of my list of movies because that's the film that I think most people have actually seen. Whereas films like The Holdovers and Iron Claw, amongst others, are ones that have not gotten nearly as much recognition because people just haven't seen them and they're very good. And I think that they are worth actually going to see. But before getting further, please make sure you smash that like button, line up the fire button, I see smash the rumble button as well. And we are live on all those locations tonight. No live on Twitter tonight because things just were hectic today. Sorry that I started just a couple of minutes late too. Things have just been kind of a little bit hectic. Then my computer, to top it all off, my computer started acting weird where it just was being very slow. It's been doing this the last couple days where I'd reboot it and everything was fine for a while. And then I'd come back and then things would just start to slow down. So I ran my CC cleaner trying to get rid of trackers and things like that. Hopefully that worked. Hopefully that fixes that issue. But obviously I did not want that happening during the stream because that just would have maybe go that much crazier. But let's say hello to the people in the chat. First off, we got Icthulu. What's going on, good sir? Says, as long as you aren't Tom levels late. Yeah, that's not, I typically don't. Usually I am not a late person. I try to be as on time and punctual as I can. Obviously things sometimes happen, but I do try to keep myself as strict to the schedule as I possibly can. Unlike some other people who stream during the time that I stream. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Shout out to Tuesday night's main event, though. Much love to my geeks and gamers brethren, but come on. I've been at this time slot on Tuesdays for a long, long time. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. When this used to be the one-man low council. That's a throwback for you. Let's see. Michael Preacher, what's going on, Michael? Hail to the chat. Hail to you, Michael. Thank you very much for being here. Master of Gaming in the chat, what is up? We got Laura, the Modern Major General story. Why did the Norse God of Thunder get a massage? Because he was a little Thor. Shout out to Laura. Thanks for being here. Little Chad in the chat. We got Bruce in the chat. How's it going? Rob D, when does voting close for the Ravens? So remember that the Oscars, meaning our boycott of the Oscars, the Ravens, are on March 10th. So I have to cut it off in the next week or so. So my guess is I don't have an official cutoff yet, but to give me some time to work on a couple of things for that one, I probably will have the cutoff be maybe next Thursday, next Friday, so maybe the 7th or 8th. But don't let that hold you. Don't let that be the thing that keeps you from putting your vote out there. So again, the link was posted in the chat. It's been posted on the different social platforms. Check it out. Let your voice be heard. SG Silk just says, hi. Oh, what's up, SG? Little Chad made 2 million at the Sunday fan events. And again, that might be good, but because those are specifically for fans, it's hard to really gauge long-term box office from that. It's a good start, but not really what we need as far as data to crunch. Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says, greetings, y'all. Hail Odin in chat. Hail to you, Scott. Appreciate you being here. Gee, back once again. The mysterious Gee. What are the box office projections for June Part 2? And do you think the movie will have legs because March is stack month for movies? Yeah, I mean, in comparison to the rest of the year, sure, you could say that. But remember, the box office just really has not been there for a while now. I mean, you've had a few films that have been able to break through. Obviously, last summer was a great example where Barbenheimer was able to dominate. But Barbenheimer really is one of the only examples we can think of in the last few years that was able to do what it did. Obviously, you can think about Top Gun Maverick, right? You can think about those outliers, right? Those individual films that are able to perform very well. But as far as consistently, just because a bunch of big films with big budgets are coming out in 1 month does not mean the box office is saved, does not mean that those films are going to be making any money. Really comes down to, is the film good? Is the film interesting? Is the film getting word of mouth for it? Or is it not? And that's where I think Dune is going to have a very interesting position because it is still so much of a niche property, right? There are still not a lot of people that are into the Dune universe that don't really understand it. This is a part two of a story, so there is homework for newer audiences that have to watch Dune Part 1. And from what I've heard from the people who've seen it, this is not really spoiling much of anything. This just makes sense. You need to have watched Dune Part 1 to really understand Part 2. There's no real recap, right? You don't have the capacity of what you find in a lot of streaming services where you get a recap of the previous episode and all that kind of stuff. And so I think all those things are going to potentially... Also, it is a 2 hour and 47 minute runtime, so roughly 3 hours runtime. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a movie that is... You know, some people are saying it could eventually pull maybe an Oppenheimer. I think the difference, though, is with Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer really was helped in so many ways by Barbie, right? The whole Barbenheimer thing is a primary reason as to why that film got close to $1 billion. Dune's not going to have that 1-2 punch. Dune's not going to be able to have that meme. The best thing that it has going for it, the one thing where I could potentially see it being something that could actually bring it up to an Oppenheimer level, is not even anything outside of itself. But I'm telling you right now, people, that popcorn bucket, the meme-worthy popcorn bucket, which I talked to my wife and I was like, look, I know you want to watch this movie with me, but I really want to see this film opening night. One, because I like seeing movies opening nights. I like to be able to get my thoughts out there early. I like to be able to talk about, obviously, we're going to talk about it on Friday Night Tights this week too. But also, I want that popcorn bucket. I just think it's hilarious. It's a part of cinematic history. Just of how bad and poorly designed and the choices that were made to get to the point where they have that as their popcorn bucket design. And so that might actually be enough, right? Because memes are very powerful. They don't save movies, right? Ask Morbius. People misread that and thought, oh, look at all the memes and all the online conversations on Morbius. It did not result to tickets. So this could very much do something similar to what the Barbenheimer movement did for those two movies in Barbie and Oppenheimer. Or again, it could also fall into that, okay, it's a long movie. It's got a lot of hype around it. It's got a very dedicated fan base. There's some normie audiences that are going to be brought into because of some of the actors. And it seems like it's getting some pretty universal praise overall. And that's, I guess, what we can talk, start talking about tonight is just what are some of the early thoughts about it. Again, don't worry, we're not going to go into any spoilers. Again, the story itself has been around since the 1960s, so there's not much we can spoil there. And when it comes to the changes made between book and movie, same thing. To me, this is the kind of story where you're not there really for the narrative. You're there for the visual experience. You're there for, the story to an extent, obviously. But what I merely mean to say is I don't think it's going to affect one's experience if one knows the changes that have gone into it. It just doesn't really seem to be that kind of film. But over on Critiqlist, because screw Rotten Tomatoes and all those other sites, Critiqlist is my jam. It is the place to be. 4 people, though, on the Critiqlist and in the Critiqlist community have actually seen it. They saw the early fan screening. That's one of the reasons why I like Critiqlist so much, is because it's full of movie buffs. It's just full of movie fans. There's obviously, TV fans in there too, but primary user base right now is focused on movies. And so when I look at these 4, I think, okay, these are some people that I generally would trust, kind of that wisdom of the crowd. Not necessarily that I'm going to agree with their reviews or have a similar rating, but I do think it's interesting that based off of this, which is a mixture of movie buff, normie audience, you obviously have different groups being represented, which is always great. 90% most excellent on Critiqlist based on the 4 of the user base that have seen it so far. Just to get into individual ones, first off, the themes, there's a bit of language, a lot of violence, a bit of nudity, it says, no political bias, so that's a great thing. So of the 4 people that watched it, they have not labeled any political bias in there, which is great to know, and only slightly family-friendly, which makes sense. There's the worms right there, which the popcorn bucket is based on. Gary Banjo-Servitz Worthington, who I have some words for, and I saw that he had a comment in here earlier, so I'll try and get to that when I can. But he gave it a rad rating, so Gary thought it was a rad film. Crisco gave it a most excellent. Sean Zubox gave it a 100%. He is a content creator, so he has a full review out on it as well. And this is Savvy, who's been around the Critiqlist community for a long time, also gave it a 100%. So again, that's a bit too high. I don't really like giving films, I don't think I've given any film yet a 100%, because that is a perfect score. So that indicates a perfect movie. I just don't think, based on everything that we've seen, everything that we've heard, that this will be a perfect film. It's, again, not anything to dig against this movie. It's just, come on, perfection is not easy to achieve for good reason. Now, looking at the overall box office, according to Rebecca Rubin, Becca, over on Variety says, Dune 2 aims for blockbuster glory. How a strike delay, IMAX and Oppenheimer success can boost Denis Villeneuve's sequel. And I think that this is a lot of, wishful thinking to a certain extent, but also a misreading of the box office, which again, not all that surprising. But it says, back in 2023, as two labor strikes were roiling Hollywood and preventing stars from promoting blockbusters, that's the, okay, already this article is trash. Already. Because they are trying to insinuate, Becca, you're trying to insinuate that the strikes had any impact on box office when it comes to promotion. I'm sorry. If you're going to try to still argue, stop trying to make this a thing. If you still think modern audiences give a damn about what actors think as far as their promotions of their movie, if you think that people are just waiting with bated breath for the actors to come out on a red carpet, to come out and give an interview and to talk about their feelings and to talk about... I'm sorry, that's just not how it works anymore. You have the hardcore people, absolutely. There are people that eat that stuff up. But that is not the primary movie-going audience. So please stop trying to make that a thing. It's not a thing. It is not a thing. And we saw this because, remember, when the strike had initially ended, it was over a week before the Hunger Games release, right? The first Hunger Games release, which means you had about a week's worth of promotion that was finally allowed for that movie. And guess what? The needle did not move at all. In fact, one could even argue it went down a little bit. So that was proof positive that it did nothing. That promotion for films in the context of the stars being the one to promote them is ridiculous. So please stop trying to make that a thing. It says, the studios feared that without Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya on the press circuit, the big budget science fiction sequel wouldn't live up to its box office potential. And again, it's not a thing. My first thought was, oh crap, remembers Chris Randleman, chief revenue officer of the Texas-based cinema chain Flicks Brewhouse. Like many theater operators, Randleman was devastated by the delay. Already Christmas time was lacking a behemoth like Star Wars or Avatar sequel, and there was hope Dune Part 2, scheduled for November 3rd, would offset it. And we all know that it got delayed, again, for various reasons. I think it's just, again, quite silly to think that the actors promoting it are somehow saving the box office for this. That's just ridiculous. All right, let's get through some of the nonsense here being talked about. It says, first off, based on pre-sales and early tracking, Dune Part 2 will deliver a much-needed box office jolt. The sci-fi epic is expected to collect at least $60 million domestically to $80 million in its debut. As it says, it would be the first movie to open above $50 million since last October. It would also be not one of the biggest openings that we've seen, even in more recent years. And this is where I have to, again, my little box office. I don't know what I was going to say there. It was in my head. I'm like, I don't think I could say this in any way that would sound appropriate. But basically, my little sensors in my brain were going off. All right, my little sensors in my brain were going off, and I was like, okay, hold on, danger, danger, danger. What in the world are you trying to? Are you trying to insinuate here? What are you trying to argue here? Okay. Because at the end of the day, we do have some numbers, right? We, of course, have the box office numbers for Dune as far as how much this movie costs, $190 million. All right. Let's go ahead and boost that up a bit. $190 million is the budget for this movie. So it needs to make well over $500 million in real dollars before it actually breaks even. Now, do I think it will be able to do so? Yes, I do think this film will break even. The last film, especially where you look at where it made a lot of its money, was not much of a box office hit in any way. One could argue it had a life on HBO Max, now Max, right? It obviously brought people there. It brought eyeballs to the screen, and people have been hyped for it, no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, as far as the raw box office is concerned, that first film didn't do it. I think this film will. I think this film absolutely will be able to make profits. But here, I think, is the thing that we need to remember about the movies, all right? So let's first off, let's do a quick search for Dune, all right? Because it's important for us to be reminded of a few factors, okay? So according to the numbers, recent numbers, or rather the last number that was updated, $399 million, so roughly $400 million is what the first film made worldwide. Now, you can blame the day-and-date release model. I've heard that excuse before. It's not a really good excuse. You can blame COVID. Again, also not a very good excuse either. It does cut in. The only real argument that does make any sense is actually the day and date, because it does cut into some of the box office, some of the potential box office. Because you again have to say, all of the people who watched it on streaming guaranteed they would have seen it in theaters. There is no guarantee with that. There's some crossover. There's absolutely some who would have gone out to see it in a theater versus watching it at home if they had the option or they didn't have the streaming option. But you cannot guarantee that. There's not a one-to-one correlation in those numbers. But here's the thing that to me is the reason why I don't think these numbers are as big or as impressive as what is being implied by people like Becca over at Variety. So this is an unofficial number. But if you look to the roughly $40 million domestically that was made by the first Dune film in 2021, all right, compare that to the $60 to $80 million. Okay, so in a best case scenario, according to the numbers right now, and obviously these numbers could change, it could be better. At best, it's doing twice as well domestically in its opening. If you take all of the opening numbers, though, if you take the opening weekends from every place that the film, the first film came out in, and again, it's been a while since I've had this number in there, but I know that the strike means it's just an unofficial number. So take it with a grain of salt. But it was around $220 million worldwide in its opening. And that was domestic and international. And remember, the reason why this is also the case is because it had a delayed release. And so this is taking, 4 weeks later, that opening weekend of that whatever film, that opening weekend of whatever country it was coming out in. So roughly $200 million-ish dollars, even for part one, even back during COVID, even with the whole day and date model. Okay. Now compare that to what we have right now being reported about this movie. And again, it's impressive because again, it's true. A film has not had a domestic opening above $50 million, according here to Variety, since October. So that's a long time to go without having that kind of opening. However, right, it also says it could even approach $90 million. Now, if it starts to get to that $100 million territory, okay. Now we can start cooking with a little bit of gas. But as it says right now, okay, the film costs $190 million, and the early reports are they think the film could make around $100 million internationally, according to some reports. So it's looking like, according to the early numbers, and again, these numbers change all the time, you might end up seeing around a $200 million opening weekend for Dune. If that is the case, if it does that, that means if it has an average performance at the box office historically, there's a chance of it getting to 600 plus million. That would be in the cards if it was able to get to a $200 million global opening, okay? And that's because a lot of, on average, films can make three times their worldwide box office by the end of their run. This is, again, something where it's the average, so there's some that can do a lot worse, there's some that can do a lot better than that, but in general, it's about three times their box office in their opening weekend. Globally, films can make by the end of the run. That's why the first 2 weeks are so important, because the first 2 weeks we get a much more accurate metric of what the film can likely make. So if the film is going towards that $200 million number, and again, that's going to be a lot better in the long run for the film, no doubt about it, because it is doing better domestically by a bit. Internationally, again, because of that delayed release, it's still hard to say. It's hard to quantify, because there's obviously going to be some places it's coming out now, some places it might be coming out later. So that's the other thing. That's why you had to take that other 220 number with a grain of salt, because it's not including countries where maybe it's not getting released in right now. The whole point of what I'm trying to make, though, with this is the box office is looking good for this movie. It's not looking great. It's not looking amazing. It's not looking like sliced bread, essentially, which is what I think some people are treating it as. It very well could become that. It has the potential to become that, no doubt about it. I'm not denying any potential whatsoever for this. But we also have to, again, try to be honest with ourselves, honest with the numbers. And that's what I always try to bring to this channel. But what say you? Let's go ahead and see what y'all have to say. All right, first off, Luzilla at 734 in the chat says, "Hey, Odin, how is it going? I really enjoyed Dune Part 2, and most of the changes didn't really bother me, although I will say that they did to Zendaya's character in the end was annoying." Yeah, I've been hearing that pretty consistently, that there's apparently a change made with Zendaya's character that annoys some people. I can only imagine what it is. But I've heard also the change is not so egregious that it took too many people out of it, from what I hear. King and Rumsky says, "I feel bad for asking this, but would you be able to give an overview of the Dune world? Never saw them. If not, it's cool." Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily would have the brain capacity, the mental capacity to do that. But essentially, Dune is set in this, it's obviously, you know, sci-fi, I guess you could say sci-fi fantasy to an extent. But it deals with Paul Atreides, who is the Duke's son. So this Duke, oh my God, as I said, I'm not going to be able to remember all the characters. But anyway, his father, the Duke, he is put in charge by the Emperor of this galaxy, the Emperor of this universe, is put in charge of Arrakis, or Dune, right? He's put in charge. He's taken over for the Harkonnens. The Harkonnens have been in charge of this place for a while. But there's some tension. There's a lot of warring families in this universe. And so that's kind of the premise of what gets things started. And so you have a battle that takes place, right, where the Harkonnens are screwing over the Atreides family. Like, they attack the Atreides. You find out later on that the Emperor is behind it. And so this is what leads to the course of Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2, right, where Paul Atreides, the son of the Duke, he is now, of course, because his father is dead, he is now Duke of Arrakis. He is now Duke of the House Atreides. And as he gets pushed out and he gets saved by people in his household who sacrifice themselves, he meets this group of natives called the Fremen. And the Fremen have lived on Arrakis, know how Arrakis works, know how to, you know, traverse the area and live off of basically their own sweat and their own water, right? Water is a very big part of it. If I guess I had to break it down into key things, there's a universe that's run by different families, kind of like a royal family, I guess you could say. It's almost like there's kingdoms set aside with families running certain kingdoms. And then there's an emperor who's at the head of everything, who's delegating all these different things. And Dune is just one part of it. Dune, though, is the source of something called spice. And this spice is essentially a drug, but it allows for these people, these beings, to traverse the galaxy, to traverse their, to do long distance travel. The spice allows these people to like see beyond the material world or beyond their self. Basically, it allows them to navigate the stars. Without the spice, they would not be able to navigate the stars. They just wouldn't have the equipment to be able to do so. They need the spice. They rely upon the spice for this reason. So the Atreides family now being in charge of Dune means they're also in charge of the spice as well. So obviously a lot of it's delved around that, about who has control of the spice, who controls the spice, controls the world kind of thing. Anyway, it's probably a terrible overview and explanation, but that's what my broken brain came up with at this point. Let's see. Laura says, I got my tickets for Thursday's first show. Excited. I couldn't do the fan event because it didn't even start until 7 on Sunday. Yeah, I really wish that I could have. I kind of held off for a little bit because I knew my wife wanted to watch it, so I didn't get my ticket to go see it. But that 7 p.m. is always a little bit tougher. Unfortunately, I have to see the early showing. The only showing that I could make work was a 7:05 IMAX on Thursday. And I know it's going to be a little tough to try to make that work because, you know, I'm putting my son to bed and his bedtime is right around 7 p.m. So, yeah, it'll be tricky. Let's see. Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says, no, I mean changes in the movie. And again, I can only do so much with that because from what I've been told, it's mostly a faithful adaptation. But yeah. Ambrose says, attended taping of The Late Show with Rebecca Ferguson, Lady Jessica from Dune. No spoilers given. Okay. Good to hear. Icthulhu says, starved of food, a saltine will taste like gourmet food. Dune 2 may be good, but the lack of competition skews the reception just a bit. I think that's a fair assessment, Icthulhu, for sure. I think that it might be one of those films that gets overhyped because of the fact that there's just been nothing. As, you know, Becca over at Variety said, there hasn't been a domestic film to make over $50 million, apparently, since October, right? With Five Nights at Freddy's. That's quite a long time. And we can think of some pretty big stinkers that came out. There are also other films, though, that came out that in the long run did pretty well. We think about Wonka, for instance, right? It had one of those decent but kind of low openings, but it was able to have very strong holds, and it's still punching above its weight 11, 12 weeks on. Migration, too. By the way, I need to give a shout-out to a couple of places because, first off, Universal Illumination, shout-out to y'all. I got sent this copy of Migration today, so finally we'll be able to check this movie out. This was one of those little engine that could movies, right, that was able to do much better down the line. Not nearly as well as Wonka, but definitely better than what the expectations were, better than what the initial estimates and projections were. So again, shout out to Universal for that. And also a shout out to Warner Brothers for sending me the 4K edition of Contagion. I've actually never seen this. Steven Soderbergh, I typically like Soderbergh's films quite a bit. And I know that the cast of this movie is pretty good. Marion Cotillard, Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Winslet. And Nothing Spreads Like Fear. Apparently, some correlations in this movie to a little bit of the COVID era we could find, apparently. But anyway, love Soderbergh. So can't wait to actually check that out on 4K. Scott McKenzie says, I won't see it this weekend with my daughters. One, a nursing student, so could not go Sunday night. Aw, man. Jess Pena, ahoy. Ahoy to you. Luke Zilla says, I think Dune Part 2 will do very solid numbers, both domestic and worldwide. But for now, I don't see it making more than 550 to 600. First 2 weeks will be very telling. Yeah, I mean, as always, for the first 2 weeks are always telling. But as I said, if the movie does track towards this 200 million, I think it was Tony over at Deadline who has an early comment on this. Sorry, when I did my CC cleaner, it must have wiped out my history or something like that, because now none of the things are coming back. Okay, here we go. So actually, this might have been a bit of an update. It was from noon today. Maybe this was the article that I watched. So this is what I was referencing before, right? So it's actually expected to maybe even make less. So right now, according to Tony and Nance over on Deadline, Dune Part 2 will dust off the box office with $170 million global debut. As I'd mentioned, though, if you take into account all the openings for the first Dune Part 1, I believe it actually made more. And that was day and date, etc. Now, the big thing, of course, is that the film is still tracking quite a bit, is still tracking very well to be able to do much better domestically, right? So about 20 to, you know, roughly 20 million or more higher, right? $20 to $40 million higher. Just to give you a bit of a understanding of this, the Room soundboard, that's not what I wanted to pull up. By the way, the Room soundboard is hilarious. That's what I said, though. All of my most recent sites are no longer coming up. Oh, man, now I have to type in thenumbers.com? Normally, it's automatic. How dare you make me do work like that? Anyway, let me go ahead and pull this number up for a second just to give you a better understanding. So, yeah, I mean, look, let's be honest. This movie's going to make a lot more than Dune Part 1 domestically, right? Dune Part 1 domestically only made $109 million. I think this film will definitely be able to surpass that. You know, we could see the $200 million plus range for the domestic total. International is going to be a big question mark, of course. The first film made $324 million internationally. So again, it did a lot better than I think some people remember. But its largest portion was still international. It only gets 40% of that. Remember, 40% of the box office is that, but also 39 million of that came from China, of which they only get 25%. So this is also the reason why, if you take a very generous view of Part One, it still lost quite a bit of money, right? It still lost around 10 million with the most generous view. In a more realistic take, it actually lost quite a bit more because it was so predominantly accessible, predominantly viewed in those international audiences. But this is what I ended up doing, right? So you see that the opening weekend numbers here, right? So let me see if I can do some quick math on this. So let's see, 3.3. This would make it about 4 points. I would say 4.2. This would make it 25.9. Let's just say 26. Add these together, that would be about 27.1. Sorry, 27 points. Let's do 28. 35.5, that'd be 40, 41, let's see, 43, 45, 46, 47, 48, that'd make it 55, let's see, 57, 59, 60, 61, 62, so that brings it up to 70. So let's say with all those other little bits, let's say maybe 75 million or so. So, okay. I think I also may have adjusted the number for inflation as well. So you're still looking at, again, around $70+ million made internationally its opening weekend. It was about $40 million domestic in its opening weekend. So, okay, right now, then, this is absolutely tracking ahead of that number. Like, I don't know where I got that 220 from. Weird. Sometimes I need to go back and be like, okay, what was I thinking? Keep in mind, 2021, it's like 3 years ago at this point. It's kind of crazy to think how much time has gone by. I can't believe I've actually been tracking the box office for that long. That's also why I do these things live, because then you get to see, I fact check myself even. So you're looking at what, around $130-ish million made by the first film worldwide it's opening, $170 million right now being projected. So that's a lot better. So it's definitely going to be tracking better. If the first film made $400 million, that's why I think $600+ million is absolutely on the table for this movie. The question is just how much higher, how much above $600 million does it actually make? Prince Screen News member says $700 million is the ceiling. I think that that is definitely not a bad take. Keely Chow, what is going on? Rob D. says, I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Media wasn't as bad as Thor, Love, and Thunder, but still didn't care for it. Quantum Realm was too much CGI, and the film did not excite me for Phase 5. It's a terrible film. It's awful. Kili Chow, what's going on? Prince Green, have you seen the trailer for Boy Kills World? I have not. Carnell, what is going on? He says that he is dual streaming me with... Is that Midnight's Edge? Oh, no, Tuesday Night's Main Event. I was like, wait a minute. Ah, well, thank you, Carnell. I very much appreciate that. Keep in mind, I thought that they always start at like 8:30. I think I saw that as was in the title. That would explain it. He always makes people have to go earlier. The only reason why FNT is as early as it is, it's all because of Az. Kitty Chow. Dad say, how are you, Thor, Freya, and Baby Sif doing? We're all doing fine. Baby Thor had a bit of a rough day, but... Laura says, I think Jeremy was streaming early today. Yeah, again, I think if Az is the guest, that would be why. That would be why. Ambrose Chamberbot says, we don't boycott the Oscars event, just the awards. No, we boycott everything, Ambrose. I don't know if that's what, so I don't know if you're saying that that's what you and your family do. No, we boycott the Oscars because the Oscars don't matter. They do not matter anymore. They haven't mattered for a long time. And I would say, and obviously I'm attacking myself in this, but I would say the Oscars are as relevant as the Ravens are, which means that they're really not. They're the only relevant to those that it actually matters to. It used to be that they were the standard, right? It used to be like, oh man, that film has this many Oscars. That film has this many. And it just doesn't matter anymore. They have made the Oscars into such a joke. It's, you know, it's not as bad as the Grammys yet, but it's getting pretty close to that, right? For the Grammys, it's like, okay, they have an award for everything. There's 1,000 different categories. It's just a joke. Anyone can win a Grammy these days, it seems, right? Because there's just so many genres now. It's kind of ridiculous. But Oscars are not much better at this point. Not much better. Kimberly G's member says, I can't remember who told me to watch Morbius, turn my brain off, and they were right. It was better than The Flash. Again, it's not good. It's not good, but it is darn funny. Let's see. Laura says, I just watched the first few eps of Resident Alien, best comedic pilot I've seen in a long time. Resident Alien is fantastic in the first season. After the first season, not so much. The second season, there's at one point in the second season where there's a complete like girl boss, girl power episode. And that's when I was like, I can't watch this anymore. It was really sad. I was so sad. I was like, all right, season two hasn't been that great. And then we got to that episode. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. No, thank you. I don't need that nonsense. Why are you putting that nonsense into this great show that doesn't need it? Let's see. Hardwick, what do you think of Denis Villeneuve's comment about dialogue? And did you know that George Lucas had said similar things? I disagree with Denis Villeneuve. I think that overall, I understand his point. But to say that dialogue is either not important or not as important or is overused, I think also kind of forgets about movie history. He must have never seen films like It's a Wonderful Life, or he must have never seen films like 12 Angry Men. And in the case of 12 Angry Men, right, based off of a play, and yet it's also still seen as one of the greatest films of all time. And this is something that just universally has universal appeal. And if you look to a lot of the classic films too, a lot of the classic films absolutely are dialogue driven. So I don't know what he's talking about. I get what he's trying to say, but I think overall he misses the point. Because to me, it sounds more like he's trying to make a defense for the mindless blockbuster, where it's all about spectacle. And again, films can have spectacle, but you got to have story. And a lot of times story is driven by dialogue. You don't need dialogue to have a good film. But to say that it's, yeah, definitely disagree. Lee Mitchell says, you can be any biblical supporting character, no Big J or top tier. Which would you be? Oh, okay. If I could be any biblical supporting character, obviously not Jesus or top tier. Top tier is where I kind of lose you for a second. Supporting character. I don't really like that expression, I guess. I mean, because I understand how they're, I guess, supporting, because they're supporting the, you know, salvation history, and they're supporting the narrative of the Messiah. But I would ask the question, Old Testament, New Testament, need some more specifics, especially if you're just going to say no top tier. I need some context there. All right, Master Gaming says, the week after Dune Part 2, there's 3 wide releases coming out. All 3 I want to see, those being Kung Fu Panda 4, Imaginary, and Cabrini. Yeah, Imaginary, it's a horror film. I have no interest in it, Master of Gaming. To me, I'm so tired of the horror films. They're just all the same, it seems, these days. Kung Fu Panda 4, come on. The fourth one, the first one was fine. You didn't need to make any more after that. So I'm over that. And then Cabrini, yes, Cabrini's great. I still haven't watched the screener that I have for it, but I'm planning on doing it because I do want to watch it before the opening weekend, but I also want to make sure that I'm not reviewing it too early. I want to respect what they had asked for. Let's see. Orange Hat says, howdy, Odin. I have been super busy writing my own Marvel story. Just finished over 230 pages, taking a break and enjoying your stream. Yeah, dude, I know that you had mentioned that last time, and I saw that you had mentioned that also on Critic List. So again, congratulations on your work, man. Let's see, Corona Sunrise, what is going on? Let's see, G Monkey 76, what's going on? Welcome back. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Again, if you have a comment or question, just put at Odin at the very beginning of your comment. At Odin, let me know you're trying to get my attention. Gee says, do you think Warner Brothers will make Dune Messiah and will make it 2 parts? I think that Denis Villeneuve have said or has indicated that he would be interested in continuing the story. Based on the numbers that we're seeing right now, I think financially there would be an incentive for them to do it. I guess the ultimate question is, will they be able to get, I've not read those books myself or know much about their stories, but the question I guess would be, would they be able to get the same cast back for any of the characters that continue on in any way, if they do, have it anyway. Let's see. Steven, did I say, are you excited for the original Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2 coming out for PS5, Switch, etc.? Were you playing it back when it was out in 2024? As I've mentioned constantly, I am not a major gamer at all. But I've played at least one Star Wars game. I thought they had already released a Star Wars Battlefront. I don't know what number it was, but I think it was on PS4. That Battlefront I had played. But yeah, I wasn't playing that back in 2004. Let's see. Laura says, I found Savvy during COVID. She does political commentary too, lives in NOLA. Oh, okay. Didn't know that she was from my hometown too. Steve and Tad say, your thoughts that Madam Web may not reach $100 million at the box office in the end of its run. Is it likely to happen? Bro. Steven, are you going to act like I'm not the one that's been talking about that? I feel like there's a lot of people that might be running with that now. And it's like, I've been saying that since its opening weekend. This is the reason why you need to come to me for box office and not other channels that started doing it long after me. I'm kidding. You can go watch it however you want. But no, I've been talking about that. Check out my box office video. Check out the first opening weekend box office breakdown I did, man, because you'll hear me talk about how it probably won't make $100 million. And then I talk about it further in this past weekend. Steven says, will you be at the Vegas meetup? No. Too far. And it's in the middle of the week. Again, it drives me crazy whenever the Vegas meetup comes around, because it's like, look, this is great for anyone who lives in the area, but if you are a working person, whether you're on the panel or you're not on the panel, it is a terrible time. It is an awful time to plan a meetup. It's like, okay, yeah, let's do the middle of the week in April. Come on, man. So no, there's no way I'd be able to make that work. both in time in that I'm working, and two, the distance, again, just wouldn't be able to work. Laura says, yas, chart time at 7:51. Yes, indeed. Cthulhu says, someone please give them an English lesson since last October should be written as since October, just like next Tuesday should be written as either this Tuesday of Tuesday next week. Arg. No, I still do the whole next Tuesday thing. The reason why is because I try to, as a teacher, that's how you have to word it. Be like, okay, this Tuesday, this is due. Next Tuesday, it's due. Anyway, Miss Monmuses, shout out to Miss Monmuses. I was able to jump onto her Catholic Explaining podcast last week, and we had a great conversation. So check out Miss Monmuses. Thank you very much for your support. Low water mark is 753. Thank you for the $10 super chat. But I know it's very serious. It says, can we pray for Nick Riccata, who had a temperature of almost 107? He's not a bad guy, even if people think he is. I mean, I obviously don't think he is a bad guy. I don't really have a lot of interaction with him. I know that he's, of course, you know, been on Friday Night Tights before. And a lot of the people in our community are a lot closer to him than I am. But absolutely, yeah, that's awful. Again, thoughts and prayers out to Nick. Hopefully he heals up. And I know that he does a lot of very important work covering a lot of things that, you know, I still am very thankful, for instance, for him being able to cover all of the nonsense that was going on during the Rittenhouse trial. I mean, he was a key figure in kind of exposing the nonsense. Kimberly G says, holy cow, your brain can't handle that temperature. Prayers for Nick. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Mike Jackson, what's going on? Rough Girl, what's going on? Master Gaming says, March 2024 has a big movie. Bro. Really? Master of Gaming? Chill out, bro. You didn't mention all of those movies. You basically switched out another movie. Yes, we know a lot of films are coming out. I even mentioned it. Jeremy Sikowski, I imagine this was for me. Let's see. I watched Doom Part 1 the other day to get ready for Part 2. I was a bit disappointed that Beetlejuice didn't make an appearance. Sandworms equals Beetlejuice. I feel I got robbed here. You know what, Jeremy? I think that's a great point. And I will say, I was thinking the same thing when I was first getting to know everything and seeing the early trailers for the first film. I was like, wait, Sandworms? I remember hearing about Sandworms before, but it wasn't here. General Wingster, unfortunately, I've already seen the last part of the comment before reading it, but I'm going to read it anyway. Odin, I watched The Land of Bad Thing. It got really weird when they just started talking about the sub-Saharan slave trade for no reason. The sub-Saharan African slave trade, sir. Anyway. Abomination, what's going on, brother? Hanging out over in Odyssey says, would be interesting if Migration turns out to be number one. Be one of Odin's favorite movies. It would be, wouldn't it? And again, I've never said anything terrible against it other than just it doesn't seem like a film that's going to start a franchise. You know? It really, you know, it did well at the box office, but didn't, you know, cast a spell in the box office, as you sometimes hear people say. Master Gaming says, are you excited for Civil War? That's a very loaded question, Master of Gaming, so I'm going to let you have to think about it for yourself. Carl Jacobs, Dune is pretty much the Holy Roman Empire in space. Yeah, I think that there's definitely something there to that. There's the Bene Gesserits, right? There's the religious cult. So yeah, you could definitely make some correlations there too. Let's see. Abomination says, browser history is cleared out pretty commonly with cleanup programs. King and Remsky says, you got a Rumble rant. Oh, nice. I don't know why they don't show up here for some reason. I don't get it. But anyway, Victor Fontaine, thank you very much for the $10 Rumble rant. I almost said super chat, but thank you very much, Victor Fontaine, for the $10 Rumble rant. He says, hail Odin, another $10 towards your popcorn bucket. Enjoy the movie. It's a must see in IMAX and is really good. The only knock I had is what they did with the Chaney character. Yeah. Again, I've been hearing that very consistently, by the way. Again, thank you very much, Victor Fontaine, for that shout out. Still need to figure out exactly how I get access to the Rumble rant stuff. But yeah, very much looking forward to getting a popcorn bucket. I hope I can get a popcorn bucket, and I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Definitely excited. Yeah, don't take my cynicism towards the box office for this film as being hating on the movie. I'm very excited for it. I wouldn't be going to see it opening night. I wouldn't be planning on getting a $20 to $30 popcorn bucket for the aesthetics alone. All right. But again, shout out to Victor Fontaine. Thank you very much for that rumble rant. Let's see. Hardwick says, Contagion coined the term social distancing. The movie feels almost like it was made as propaganda by people who knew what was coming to get people primed to buy into COOF hysteria. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit of a stretch for me, but definitely well-founded, I think. Or I think it's a fair comment, at least. Grumcole Tharaka, love the name. Thank you for the $4 super chat. I know it's not dollars, okay? But I'm an American, all right? All right, Laura, thank you for the correction. I knew I would have gotten something wrong. Okay, says actually, I like how you put the little glasses. Actually, Spice allows guild navigators a limited ability to see the future, so they can safely fold space. Yes, thank you. Again, or in other words, to safely, you know, travel the galaxy, hyperspace. Only they call it fold space. Yeah, it's the same thing technically. But I see your point. I see your point, Laura. I appreciate it. I'm so glad I had at least one who could help me, you know, figure out what exactly I was trying to say earlier. All right, let's see. Abomination says, they completely destroyed the value of Oscar-winning director. They really did. They really, really did. And also, keep in mind, you know, when I used to actually follow the Oscars, when I actually cared, they also are very, you know, usually pretty easy to predict. This past weekend, I believe it was, the Producers Guild of America, the PGA, not the golf, but the PGA, the Producers Guild, they awarded Oppenheimer. So the producers of Oppenheimer won. Basically, Oppenheimer has a very high chance of winning the Oscar for Best Picture. Again, I thought Oppenheimer was fine. I just don't think it's the best movie of the year. There's a lot of better films that either didn't get recognized or are not getting nearly as much love or attention. And also, they nominated Barbie. I mean, gosh. Talk about idiocy. Abomination, throwing shade at New Zealand. Always throwing shade at New Zealand. Always, every time. Romney says, Odin, I'll let you pick. What should I torture myself by watching next? Indiana Jones 5, Expendables, The Marvels, or The Flash? Oh my gosh. I don't want you to torture yourself. I would say find out what the shortest runtime is amongst all those movies and let that be the one you watch if you have to. I would recommend not to. I would say watch Iron Claw instead. Iron Claw, The Holdovers, both excellent films. Abomination, no top tier, so you can't play the burning bush. Yeah, I can't play a tablet to hold the commandments either, I guess. Darn. Darn, 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 darn. I'd be the king guy, says General Wingster. All right, that one caught me off guard. So for those anyone that may have missed it, the question was if I could be any biblical supporting character that's not top tier, was how it was worded. And he mentions Jesus, who would I be? And I said, well, I would need to know a little bit more. I have to ask more questions to find out exactly what does it mean not to be top tier. And he's talking Old Testament, New Testament. So General Wingster, of course, the king of our trolls, says, I'd be the king guy. Yep, that's my boy. Sandy, Ravens are relevant to me. I appreciate that, Sandy. They're relevant to me, too. As I said, I tried to say that just to make the point. And hopefully the point was made just about how when it comes to the Oscars, the only people that actually think the Oscars mean anything are the people there, are the people watching it, you know, the very few watching it. And other than that, it doesn't have any cultural impact. It used to have cultural impact. It used to matter. Now it doesn't. And so in many ways, to many of y'all, right, the Ravens are a lot more relevant. They're a lot more fun, I can say that much. John Evan Bear says, finally watching Killers of the Flower Moon and Tetris, and I was surprised how much I like Killers of the Flower Moon. I also had a blast watching Tetris, going to finally vote for the Raven Awards. Yes, John Evan Bear, thank you, man. Yeah, Tetris is great. It's one that is another one of those films I have to do a screening for, because it's another film that people just haven't watched. And it makes sense, because Tetris is a movie I really hope that they eventually put out in physical media, because right now it's just trapped behind the Apple TV Plus paywall. And I understand why anyone would not want to go through the process of signing up for, one, another streaming service, but two, for an Apple streaming service that doesn't really offer a whole lot as far as content. But that's one of the things I think that's well worth it is Tetris, for sure. And Kills of the Flower Moon's a great film. It's not the best film. It's got issues. It's long, for sure. But I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it more than I think I thought I would. Hardwick says, George Lucas has said that the silent era was the best, and that introducing sound killed cinema. He also said that he tells stories through visuals and the dialogue isn't important. Well, we could tell that the dialogue is not important to George Lucas. It was especially clear in the prequels, all right? I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating. It gets everywhere. Annie, you're breaking my heart. We know he does not think dialogue is very important. It's very clear, right? But no, he's wrong. Sorry, he's wrong. As great as the silent era is, and I know there's a lot of people that defend the silent era, the best films of all time, if you talk about top 10 best films of all time, I believe all 10 would probably come from the era of sound. Might be a controversial take. Might be a hot take to some, but I think it's got a lot going for it. Laura says, yeah, Lucas used music to tell his story as much as his clunky dialogue. Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, there's nothing wrong with using visuals or music. I mean, one of the reasons why Baby Thor is such a huge fan of Star Wars is because of the music. Because he was so engrossed by the visuals and he was so engrossed by the score. He didn't really need to know the dialogue because he was able to, you know, follow things visually. And again, I definitely understand that. I definitely recognize that. But dialogue is still important. And dialogue has been in movies for a long time. Let's talk about. What's up? Let's talk about. Just got in. Did you watch Dune 2 early? It was good. Beautiful cinematography. I have not seen Dune 2 early. I was talking more about the early reactions. And so far, the early reactions have been quite good. In fact, I would say if you have seen it early and you are not yet on Critiqlist, please join and put your review, because I think Critiqlist would be a great place for us to really try to make it the new place to go, right? Instead of it being, what's the Rotten Tomatoes say? What's the Rotten Tomatoes score? We'd be like, all right, what's the Critiqlist score? Let's find out what actual people are saying about this movie. Let's find out what the actual, the good things, the bad things. And what I love about it, too, is that there are places for you to put, is there political bias? How much is the violence? How much is the language? These are things that I think matter to a lot of people. But do that if you haven't already. Hardwick says, I have mixed feelings on George Lucas's viewpoint. I'm a big fan of 1930s screwball comedies, which are dialogue heavy, but I consider Metropolis, which is silent, the best movie of all time. Yeah, I know a lot of people do. I've actually never seen it myself. But I know that in general, I'm not much of a fan of the silent era. Again, I totally respect it for what it is. There's definitely some silent films that I like. Buster Keaton is one that I'm a huge fan of personally. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the screwball comedy, because His Girl Friday is such a phenomenal movie. And that movie, oh my gosh, the amount of dialogue that they're able to speak in the amount of time they have is quite insane in the best way. Let's see. John Evan Bear says, you can totally make a great movie without dialogue. For example, The Illusionist animated 2010. Oh, I think I remember seeing that. No, you can. You absolutely can make it. I just want to make it clear. I was not saying you can't make a good movie without dialogue. I did not say that. I was just saying that dialogue is an important part of film, and I think that there's a huge portion of films that are great because of their dialogue. Tarantino, great example of this. Abomination. Watch them make Migration 2, 3, and 4 just like Despicable Me and its own spinoffs like Minions. They might. I'm not saying they won't. It would just be very surprising, because Despicable Me had a huge start. Minions, right? Hugely popular. Migration, just, again, it did better than expected, but $200 million worldwide, that's just not the same. It's not even in the same category. Abomination. Yeah, man, you got me. Rumble Rant. Oh, man. Let's see. Let's Talk About says, Popcorn Bucket is an AMC Buckets sold out quick in the fan screening. Yeah, I remember someone reached out to me, I think, and had mentioned that there had been early releases of the Popcorn Bucket when they shouldn't have, but that they are scheduled to have them on opening night. So as long as I can get mine opening night, I'll be happy. Prince Green, who's a member, says, A Dune and Ghostbusters movie are coming out weeks apart from each other, just like in October 2021. History truly does repeat itself. Oh, yeah. Rob D, I never realized Butthead was a Dune nerd. What? I never watched Beavis and Butthead, so. Abomination. PGA, isn't that golf? No. Gentleman Bear, Oppenheimer is very overrated. I agree. Father Millers, what's going on, Father? Says, back from the ball game, halftime score, us 8-6. A real nail biter. Hoping that's baseball, because that's an exciting baseball game for sure. The Room, right? Best worst movie of all time. Is that what you're trying to say? Let's see. Father Miller says, Jael Heber's wife with a tent peg. What? None of that made any sense to me, Father. Quit drinking. Hardwick, Frank Herbert, there we go. Frank Herbert based Dune partly on the idea that the West could fall to Islam. The Fremen are inspired by Islam. Yeah, absolutely. There's so many connections to be made between the Fremen. You can pick that up pretty much immediately. The conflict over spice represents the Middle East Eastern oil conflict. That definitely makes sense. Let's see. Laura says, I would want to be Ruth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's hardcore. Cthulhu, the only choice is Esther's husband, of course. Who else can compete? Orange Hat says, the Raven Awards is the one candle keeping the darkness of the Academy at bay. I appreciate that. King and Ramsky says, I would think anyone in the Bible, O-T-N-T, is fair game, except Abraham, Moses, David, John the Baptist, the Apostles Paul, etc. You said, etc. Let's see. Carl Jacobs had to say, I don't think the end of City Lights could have been pulled off with sound. Did the lights shut off? I'm sorry. I've not seen all films from the silent era. The Buster Keaton films that I have watched, my favorite is Sherlock Jr. It's just phenomenal. I'm trying to think of the other Buster Keaton films that I have watched. The General is one. Oh, man. That's Buster Keaton, right? I've seen a few of the Buster Keaton films. I've only seen them once, though. Zendo Deb, what's going on? Rob D. Let's see. Tad to say, what would be absolutely amazing is if during the Oscars, a cameraman peeks the camera at someone with their phone out and they're watching the Ravens. Rob D, that would be amazing. But let's just be honest. The chance of that happening, probably not high. 108 people watching. Wait, when did all you get here? Oh, there he is. Okay. All right. Is there a raid going on? Is that what's going on? It's the only thing I can think of. I was thinking of ending the stream early, but hey, thanks for watching, people. Glad to have y'all here. We're talking a little bit about what's currently being said about Dune Part 2. It seems that universal praise is being given to the film. Box office seems like it's going to be pretty good. Definitely tracking a lot better than the first film, but I add that caveat, how much better, how better will it actually be? Right now, based on the numbers, I have some doots. I have a little bit of doot. Orange Chat says, it's a mead raid. That's what I figured. Once I saw Tom in the chat, I was like, oh boy. Tom, thank you very much, man. I always appreciate your love and your support. Check us out both together on the Salty Podcast Saturday, the Salty Saturday Podcast stream. We have a lot of fun over there. Also, since I have people in the chat, if you have not voted in the Raven Awards, it's an Oscars boycott show. Vote for the best and worst of movies in 2023. Again, shout out to Tom. Thank you very much, man. See, Laura says, isn't Dune supposed to be set in Earth's future, or is this a different universe? Oh, man, yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. I thought it was, but Maybe not. Abomination. Mel Brooks' silent movie was a treat. I'm going to be honest. I was excited for the movie. I was looking forward to it because I love Mel Brooks. And it didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. I don't know why. It just didn't. Father says, the score was junior high basketball. You said 8-6 at halftime? Is that what you, what? It's been a while since I've played middle school basketball. Or junior high. That'd be middle school. That's another, middle school is another, what? Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right to me. Let's see. Father says, Jael's wife from the Old Testament, who smite the enemy with a tent peg as he slept. Are you saying the name that you think that you're saying? Jael? That name does not sound familiar to me at all. Let's see. Harwick says, His Girl Friday is one instance where a gender swap improved the story. In the original play, The Front Page, Hilda Johnson was a man. Harwick, I think you've actually given that fact before the last time. The last time that that movie was ever mentioned. Abomination. After watching Count Dankula's video about Buster Keaton, I'm kind of bummed I never saw his movies ages ago. Yeah, he's got a lot of great stuff. Abomination, 100 people watching, bust out the feet pics and or the Pal World live stream. No, no, we will not do that. Never. Gary Banjo Sandwich says, decent amount here. If all vote in Ravens, we got a party going on. Yes, we do. I want to see the vote counts on the Ravens go up. I want to see it reach new heights. Like never before, I want people to vote for the best and the worst. You're the best around. No one's ever going to keep you down. You're welcome. Harvey the General is indeed a Buster Keaton movie. Have you seen Steamboat Bill Jr. yet? It's phenomenal. No, I have not seen that one. I have his, obviously, physical media collector. Shout out to Tom, another physical media collector. Somewhere in this, remember that the shelf, remember when the shelf fell? Remember that's why the Fragile sign is still up there, because it just collapsed one day. There's a reason why it collapsed, you know, not just because of Hollywood's collapse, but anyway, somewhere amongst the mess, there, Michael Preacher, I voted, stop yelling. No, I will not stop yelling. Not until I see 300 votes. So anyway, somewhere in this mix, I have a Buster Keaton collection. So I have several of his movies, several of his short films. And I've only seen a few of them. Sephira Family, thank you again. Yeah, shout out to Tom for the raid. Laura says, DM me if you don't get a popcorn bucket. I might have one for you. Oh, I like how kind of like back alley that sounds. Like, hey, Odin, if you can't get what you need, just let me know. I might have the stuff for you. I might have access for one. I might have access for one for you. I might be able to get one. I might be able to procure one of these popcorn buckets. I appreciate it, Laura. I really hope that they have it. There it is. Yeah, Tom. There, I signed up with Critic List. Boom, baby. Now, did you vote in the Ravens? That's what I want to know. Oh, that's awesome, dude. You follow me and I'll follow you back. It's a fun place to be. It's a fun little community. You know, to just be honest with it, I enjoyed a lot. Let's see. KK Remsky says, if you could be anyone in... I love you, King Kane. If you could be anyone in Meg 2, except the top tier characters, who would you be? Oh, top tier? Can't be top tier? Then I would have to be anyone in that movie, King Kane Remsky, because no one in that film is top tier. Mic drop. Father says, yep, junior high, girls basketball. I'll hold my comments. Victor Fontaine. Yeah, I think Tom sent over his viewers after his Mead stream ended. Well, again, shout out to Tom. Laura says, Mark Hamill thought there should be some dialogue when Vader is introduced. Lucas said he could just play scary music and people would figure out he's the villain. Oh, absolutely. That's why I said, again, visuals make sense to me. I just want to make it clear. I am not saying that you need dialogue to tell a story. All right? Father, I don't think Judges 421, Jael, wife of Heber, got a tent peg and took a mallet in her hand. She approached him stealthily and drove the peg through his temple and down into the ground, and he died. Okay, so that is coming back to me. Jael, I had forgotten that name completely. I'm going to be honest. And Michael, no, I'm never going to stop yelling. Cthulhu says, LOL, honor people watching, time to advertise your Only Odin's account. No, no, Cthulhu. That's never going to be a thing. Never, ever, never, never, ever, 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 never, 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 ever going to be a thing. Let's Talk About says, have you watched Life is Beautiful? I believe it's a silent film and a great movie. Life is Beautiful, isn't that the one with, I don't know why I'm saying Benigni. Benigni, Bernini. This is an Italian film. That wasn't a silent film. Maybe I'm thinking of a very different movie that was set during World War II. The R says, sorry for being tardy. Please don't hold me for detention. R, you will. You absolutely will. Gary Banjo Sandwich says, if Buster Keaton fell, did it make a... Oh, well, I could answer that question as my physics teacher in high school did when we asked him, hey, if a tree falls in the middle of the woods, does it make a sound? You know, us being smart aleck high school students. And then he comes back just blowing our minds saying, well, the tree doesn't even exist. wait a minute, what? And then we proceed to convince him to explain to us using physics how if there's not an observer that there's an argument to be made using math and physics, science, yeah, science, to be able to argue that, yeah, the tree doesn't even exist. Yeah, let's just say our minds were blown, and it led to a very fun conversation. Harvey says, by the way, there's a Buster Keaton short film collection on Blu-ray. It has two versions, UK, a US UK, and the UK version is way better. Yeah, I think I have that, but I think I have the US version. Prince Green says, before you know it, people on the streets will be trading for Dune popcorn buckets. Yes, I think that's probably a reality. Definitely think that's probably a reality. I mean, and that's if I have to live in any dystopian future, it's going to be that one. That's the one I'm going to want to live in, okay? I want to live in the dystopian future where we are collecting and trading Dune popcorn buckets. And the value of it is, because here's the thing, I keep looking at these buckets and I still have no idea how they work. I still have no idea how they work. And so my guess is that obviously it's the sandworm, right? And the popcorn goes in, you stick your hand through, and it's like, I assume that it's made out of like rubber. This sounds so bad, all right? This just sounds awful. But I assume like the way it's designed that's just like the rubber and it's meant to like hold the popcorn in to a certain extent. But anyway, what I meant to say is that the value of the popcorn bucket once in this dystopian nightmare exists is going to be based on how many of those rubber things still exist. So the more pristine it is, the higher value you get for your popcorn bucket. E. Clay Thomason, I will post the link once again to how you are able to vote. Laura 41, if you could be any tree. Okay, look, Laura, that's easy. Redwood. Have you seen a redwood tree? Twee? Why did I say twee? Have you seen a redwood tree? They're majestic. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. But also, like, they're just gigantic. I would want to be one because that's an impressive tree. It's a very impressive tree. And no, don't get your head out of the gutter right now. It has nothing to do with that, okay? Redwoods are just amazing. Amazing that they exist. Wow Nation, is this the new meme? Is somebody gonna as Odin, ask Odin, if you could be anyone in the sub-Saharan African slave trade besides the top tier characters? Oh man, Abomination taking an old inside joke of the channel and combining it with a brand new one born just tonight. Oh man, that's a tough one though, Abomination. That's a toughie. Who would I be? I'm gonna pass on that one. I'm just gonna pass on that one right now. Let's see. Tom says, I didn't care for His Girl Friday as much as I thought I would. Just watched the 4K last week for the first time. Yeah, I think that was the version because I picked up that the Criterion when it came out because I am a big fan of the film. I love it, and I love the actors in it, everything about it. I watched it with my wife, though, and she's in that same boat where she appreciates it for what it is, but she's also like, it was too much for her, the dialogue, and I definitely can see why for a lot of people it is a lot. It is a lot of dialogue, and it's one thing that can be overwhelming. And I guess that's why I also have the viewpoints that I do about the George Lucas comment and the Denis Villeneuve comment about dialogue, because I do think that there's a very important place for it, and I've just seen so many films do it very well. I've seen a lot of films do it terribly, but I have also seen a lot of films do it well. Rob D. Odin, here's your popcorn bucket. I killed Baron Harkonnen for it. See, now I'm thinking of Harkonnen because I watched Jeremy John's review, and that's how he has always pronounced it. But I know it as Harkonnen because I was that's how they pronounce it in the audiobook version. Eclay Thomason says, I think he meant Ja-El, Superman's lost cousin. Of course, Ja-El. Of course. Victor Fontaine, Odin, if you could be any flower, but not a top-tier flower. Man, again, for that one, I would have to ask, what is a top-tier flower? I'm actually intrigued. What is a top-tier flower? I guess a rose would be one. Oh, man, a top-tier flower. Does it have to be a flower? How are we quantifying flower? Does it have to be petals? Now we're going to just overanalyze. Man, I guess a sunflower. No, I guess that's top tier. Again, I would have to have a list. Father Miller says, yes, check out 1961's Twilight Zone, Once Upon a Time, where Buster Keaton is in it. Wait, what? Wait, is that an episode of... Wait, I'm very confused by that. Buster Keaton's in an episode of Twilight Zone? Or is that a movie... I'm very confused. See, Father says, can we get you and Odin to talk about movies that can be made from the Old and New Testament? That would be amazing. That could be fun. Yeah, science. Michael Preacher says, I don't know if you went over this, but Jimmy Kimmel hosting the Hot Garbage Oscars only makes the event that much harder to watch. Yeah, you know what? I almost erased that from my mind because I thought, they would never be stupid enough to have him host the Oscars again. Oh, wait, they are that stupid. I mean, he has such TDS, and he is such an insufferable, state actor. That's really what he is at this point. He's an actor on behalf of the state. It's not surprising because he is very much a part of the Hollywood elite. He's of that class at this point. But he's also just one of the most uninteresting persons. You think about where his career started, and you think about the kind of type of comedy that he was a part of. And you look at him now and you're like, man, how far you have fallen. Just how much you are a shadow of your former self. And it's sad in so many ways. But yeah, now you just reminded me why I don't even want to know anything about the Oscars. It's one of the reasons why we're doing the Ravens. Right? We do the Ravens because it's what we have to do. It is for the greater good. The greater good. The greater good. By the way, since we have been promoting it, only two more people have submitted their nominations. Those are rookie numbers. I want this chat to pick that up. So if you've not voted in the Ravens yet, click on that link that I sent and do it. Just do it. Just do it. Oh, look at that. Twilight Zone on Pluto TV. That is Buster Keaton. Wow. Wow. I had no idea. Wow. I'll have to check that out. Big fan of Twilight Zone. The OG, of course, not the new stuff. Harvey says, have you seen Singin' in the Rain? It's a great movie about the transition between the silent and talkies era. I have, and I agree. It's great. I've also been in a production of Singin' in the Rain. Fun fact. Prince Green, if you could be any silent movie that's not top tier. Oh, man. I guess The Artist. It's the more recent. It won the Oscar for Best Picture several years back. And I would not say it's a top tier. It may have won an Oscar, but not a top tier. But it'd be a fun world to live in, I think. King Adramsky says, Dune popcorn buckets, collect them all. Exactly. Father, go home, you're drunk. It kick on trees, and now no one the larch. I know you're typing, Father, and I know that typing on phones can lead to things, but Father, go home, you're drunk. Abomination. It looks like rubber strings, kind of like long toothbrush bristles. That's what I figured. But I would think that that feels creepy in the dark on your arm as you reach in. Oh, no. Here's the thing, Abomination, that creeps me out, okay? Because I've actively thought about this, all right? This is where this meme has taken the brain. Okay, you put popcorn in there. Now you want to put butter on it. So now when you clean the popcorn bucket, now you got to clean the bristles because there's popcorn that comes out. Like, the implications of this, of how much of a mess it would make, is insane. It's just insane. Oh, man. Orange Hat, thanks for being here, man. Have a fun stream. We're going to be wrapping things up here soon. Minutes. Tom says, I quit that play. I don't even know what play he's in. Put your hand in the bucket. What's inside? Pay. Yes. There's the Dune reference right there. The gum jabar. Imagine the gum jabar, but instead it's with the popcorn bucket. I'm sure that video has to be out there. If it's not, someone needs to get the popcorn bucket and just do a whole skit redoing the whole Gom Jabbar sequence from part one from the book, and then just have it be with the that'd be great. Harwick says, forget the sub-Saharan slave trade. The real question is, what is the airspeed velocity? What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? I don't know that. Abomination, red roses are so common and overused, there's no way they're top tier. Wow, that's deep. Yeah, Father, I saw that. Laura, an Odin by any other name. Oh. Abomination, nobody else with any sort of draw was willing to host the Oscars, probably. Yep. Well, keep this in mind. Remember what they did to Kevin Hart? Remember when they chose him to host the Oscars and everyone was like, the people with sense were like, oh, okay, that could actually bring some eyeballs on. That could be a little bit of fun too, right? Because he's got his shtick, right? But he's at least funny to an extent. He's a heck of a lot funnier than, you know, anything that has been done by Jimmy Kimmel in the last 10, 15, 20 years. But what happened to him? He got canceled for nonsense. I wish that had happened when Elon had Twitter. I wonder what the change would have been, because you think about how a lot of that was based on the social media reaction. I think a lot of it was Twitter based because it was old tweets that were being found. Anyway, Michael Preacher says, a flower noun, the seed bearing part of a plant consisting of reproductive organs, stamens and carpels that are typically surrounded by brightly colored corollas. Ah, so I would not be able to say a Venus flytrap, I guess. Harwick says, Rod Serling created the Twilight Zone episode in such a way as let Buster Keaton do his style of silent comedy. Starting in the 1930s, Hollywood had forced him to do other styles of comedy. Interesting. Laura says, if you could be any popcorn bucket, what would it be? E. Clay Thompson, they couldn't figure out the ballot. What do you mean they couldn't figure out the ballot? The only complicated question is the first one. And it's your ranking movies. The best movie gets your number one vote. And then your least favorite of that list gets your number 10. And then everything gets filled in between. Everything else is just who do you think is the best, who do you think is the worst. Let's see. Abomination says, if you know, you know. Father was using slang? Is that what you're trying to say? Kimberly G, gotta go. Have a great night. Yeah, I gotta go very soon myself. We're gonna wrap things up here. Father says, if you know, you know. Monty Python skit about knowing your trees. Classic bit, and I'm sober. Sure you are. I think Laura's right. Is Father having a stroke? There's something going on there. Prince Green, if you could be anyone from Land of Bad who's not a top-tier character. The R, if you can be any jumping shark but not top-tier. Oh, that's easy. The Meg 1. The only Meg film that matters. Tom, there's instructions inside. You clean with water and vinegar, evidently. Interesting. Okay. I guess that's a good move on their part. To kind of like, know thyself. It very much fulfills that philosophical principle. Know thyself, popcorn bucket. GMucket76, if you could be anyone in the Muddy Pit movie that's not top tier, also, could you help me sell a house? Oh, man. G-Monkey, you're digging deep there, man. Yeah, do you remember when, back in the day, I got an email for someone to contact, someone asked me to contact somebody else so that they could help them sell a house? I wish I was making that up, but it actually happened. Harvick says, I'm pretty sure they have top of the popcorn bucket off when putting in the popcorn and the butter. That's just the thing, though. When you are putting your hand in to take it out, guess what? Butter is getting all over that thing, okay? Abomination, I'm willing to bet it's not dishwasher safe. I doubt that part of it is, at least. So have fun washing those bristles intimately by hand. Let's see, Tom says, that's the idea I have for review, but I need someone to help me insert me in the movie. If I had that capacity, I would. But I don't. I don't have that. King and Rumsky, if I had to watch a basketball game with an 8-6 halftime score, I'd be drunk. Oh, I love you guys so much. An African or a European swallow. Laura says, I don't want a buttery worm. I know, right? It's the implications that you have to think about. Harwick, have you seen the Monty Python Lumberjack song? Oh, it's been so long. It's not one that I've seen enough of. See, Tom says, I was testing that joke. Probably not a good place. Yeah, probably not. Michael Petrie, you have a good night. Butter is the new spice. Yes. The R, have a good night. Jillian N, thank you for becoming a member at the Citizen of Asgard level. I appreciate it. He is a lumberjack and he's okay. Yeah, that's the only part of it that I actually remember. The spice must flow, the butter must melt. Anyway, thank you all for being here tonight. This has been a ton of fun. Thank you again to Tom for the raid. It's always appreciated, especially when others are streaming at our time slots. But Tom is awesome. And again, you can check both of us out on the Salty Saturday podcast that we do every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And it is, it's a very, very fun show on the Salty Nerd channel. But anyway, we talked about some things tonight. Dune, I think it's going to do great at the box office. I just don't think it's going to be this major behemoth that some people are trying to indicate that it is. The fact that you do have the deadlines trying to say 60 to 80 million domestic opening is just so amazing. It's like, yeah, in reference to this year, absolutely. This is blockbuster territory comparing it to other films from this year, even going back to October, right? They have to go all the way back to October just to talk about Finance of Freddy's $50 million opening, which, interestingly enough, was actually a day and date release and actually did very fine. But anyway, we talked about that. I think that, again, it's going to do fine. Just expectations, I think, need to be a little bit tempered, I think. Unless the box office opening is a lot bigger than what we expect. And again, very well could happen. My screen looks like it's going to be packed on Thursday, so I'm excited to go see that and excited to get this popcorn bucket because it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I just think it's going to be hilarious. I just think that it's going to be something that people continue to reference for a long time. And it's one of those things where, will the popcorn bucket be more memorable than the movie? I think that's a legitimate question to ask. And it's also, I think, why I wonder about box office too, because If there's a lot of conversation going on about the popcorn bucket, who has it, who doesn't have it, and not as much happening about the movie, I think it'll be both. Obviously, I think the movie's going to be great, but I haven't seen it yet. Leave your reviews over on Critiqlist, though, if you have seen it. So that way I can get a better idea of what the general consensus is. Midnight's Edge says, I just put my review of Dune Part 2 on Critiqlist. Yes. Yes, Tom. Yes. Good. Good. Now I just need to find you. Oh, wait a minute. I think I did find you. Is this you? Yes, I did. Ooh. I've just followed you, sir. By the way, there he is. Shout out to Tom. Much love, brother. Snow Golem, get that dirty mouth out of my chat. Get that dirty mouth. We don't allow that kind of talk in here. Cthulhu, thank you for the chat and for the discussion and conversation. God bless you. God bless you as well. Father says, Odin does not have a clue about the lark. You're so welcome. Love the Monty Python talk. The lark. Or the larch. The lark, the larch. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. I know some things, just not all of it. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. This has been a ton of fun. Be on the lookout for a schedule being posted on the Discord server for an upcoming movie watch party. Going to be trying to get as many of those scheduled as I can before the Raven Awards stop taking in votes. So that will be in the next week or so. Stay tuned for that. And again, appreciate y'all for being so loving and supportive. And again, one last shout out to Tom. Thank you very much for the raid, man. Appreciate you and appreciate your love and support. You guys seriously are all amazing and beautiful people. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, God bless.